All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. I'm Scott Horton, and our next guest on the show today is Ahmed Elassi. He's an Egyptian-American, been living in Cairo for the last 10 years, and is an activist. He and some family members took part in the revolution that overthrew Hosni Mubarak so far, and we've been talking with him, getting the updates on a regular basis here about that Egyptian revolution. Welcome back to the show, Ahmed. How are you?
Hi, Scott. Good.
Very happy to have you here. Man, I'm looking for some good news. Tell me, how goes the Egyptian revolution?
Well, we just had our first democratic process go through, which was a voting that took place over a constitutional referendum, and basically the voter turnout was quite high. It was 18 million out of a possible 24 million.
Wow.
Yeah, so pretty high turnout. And basically the referendum was over several small changes done to the Constitution. A lot of, 4 million voted no to the referendum, 14 million voted yes. That was 77.1% that voted yes.
And what were the changes?
Well, the changes were several articles that had to do with the conditions for the presidency, the term of the presidency, and basically an addition to the constitution that would basically guarantee a new constitution to be drawn up soon after a new parliament takes over. Because basically, as you know, Scott, one of our major demands for for a new government was to completely remove the old parliament, because there was a lot of election rigging by the President Mubarak's NDP party, National Democratic Party, and they basically, they were all illegal posts that they had. So basically, it was suspended, and they're going to hold new elections. And basically, there were two sort of camps. You had a lot of the lefties, socialists and reformists and such had they wanted to vote no. The a lot of conservatives and the Muslim Brotherhood, as well as other conservatives, wanted a yes vote, which they succeeded in. And basically, there was a lot of controversy over it. It was virtually the first time since the revolution that you had major issues between people. There was a unity up until this vote, and it sort of divided people into these two camps of a yes camp and a no. And unfortunately, it was we weren't given enough time. Yet that didn't really scare people away from turning out in huge numbers. They had originally set the voting, like we voted at schools. You didn't have to have a voter registration card. You could vote with your national ID, which is basically like a U.S. driver's license. And people, turned out in boatloads. They had they had to actually extend the period several times to accommodate the huge turnout of people, which is kind of a good thing. However, though, like I said, there was a little bit of misunderstandings from people. I mean, the media was very ambiguous in sort of providing a clear picture of what it is people are voting on. So you had a lot of misconceptions. Some of the people thought that Article 2, which represented Sharia law, would be removed if they voted no. So you had a lot of, Brotherhood people and a lot of conservative Muslims voting yes to sort of keep that from happening. Currently, Sharia law is not necessarily fully implemented. You know, Egypt is under, it was more of a symbolic gesture that it's in the Constitution, but it's not really implemented properly because there are a lot of overlapping laws which leave a lot of loopholes, unfortunately.
So you're saying you would prefer that the Constitution be written by Sharia law? Or to implement Sharia law for real instead of just in a token way?
Well, the thing is, what I'm saying is...
And what would that really mean?
It wasn't necessarily implemented as the rule of law. And it was just a sort of a symbolic, a sort of token that it was, in the Constitution. But you had a lot of French law that is, French criminal law. You had a lot of old king's decrees and laws from, Farouk's era. And you have a lot of overlapping laws, and basically I'm not necessarily a scholar to be able to judge which is better. But what I do know is that when you have all of these various laws, you sort of get you have a lot of loopholes, and it's not necessarily the greatest thing to have. And it's not like it was, I'm just saying that it was like, people turned out in huge numbers partially because they were sort of scared, thinking that Sharia law would be removed. However, though, that wasn't even the case. It was never an issue that Sharia law would be removed. But these were, some people like, from the no camp were criticizing religious leaders for sort of scaring the public into, turning out and saying, voting yes, because the Sharia law would be removed. However, though, that was not one of the referendum changes, and it was just sort of a tactic. On the other hand, you had also people from the no camp, which were heavily criticized by also misrepresenting the no vote as saying that the Constitution would remain the same. And their argument was that once Hosni Mubarak failed, so did his Constitution along with him. And to have the lingering remaining bits and pieces of his Constitution, which is referred to as the 71 Constitution, which was drafted during Anwar Sadat's era, is basically sort of a failure on the part of the armed forces for, the criticism was that the armed forces were trying to pull a fast one on us. So let's turn out in a lot of numbers and vote no on this thing because they're going to try and keep this constitution, which gives massive powers to the presidency. Under the current constitution, you have several bills or articles that give unconditional powers to the presidency.
All right, well, hold it right there, everybody. Sure. It's Ahmed Elassi. He's on the phone from Cairo, Egypt today, giving us an update on the Egyptian revolution there. We're going to talk a little bit about his upcoming excursion to Gaza after this. All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. Talking with Ahmed Elassi, an Egyptian-American living in Cairo. And we're talking about the revolution. And I got to tell you, Ahmed, I'm sorry to kind of change the subject on you, sort of, but I'd be remiss if I didn't point out that you guys overthrew a tyrant without creating your own state to do it with. You did that without a state. Seems like you could do anything without a state. Now you've got all these problems and faction fights and splits already developing over who's going to control the new one. Why do you need a monopoly on power at all? Can't you just be free? Seems like y'all were doing real good at it.
Yeah, I mean, it's... There's still a lot of crooks out there who are left over from the regime. and they're trying to sow seeds of unrest and division between all of the good people of Egypt. And they're still burning. By the way, I'm going to go through the things that they were trying to do. They're trying to burn a lot of state security paperwork and evidence. And as I told you last time I was on the show, I was saying that state security apparatus has been frozen by the armed forces. And quite recently, they set a law canceling it completely. And basically replacing it with another apparatus that will have a lot less power. And since then, we've been, like, even during the day that we were holding this national referendum vote, the constitutional referendum vote, there were several burnings. Today, the Ministry of Interior was on fire, specifically state security evidence rooms were set ablaze. You have also in other governance or, provinces of Egypt that were basically seeing the same pattern, which is burning of old regime evidence, paperwork. And Egypt is a very bureaucratic, or it was definitely a very bureaucratic system, so they kept, evidence and paperwork on every little tiny thing, so they're having a great deal of difficulty trying to, keep the public busy in infighting while they go ahead and do more paper burning.
The fact that they're destroying evidence, though, does seem to indicate the thoroughness with which this internal security force, the torturers, the domestic torture force, has been abolished. Is that really the case? I read one kind of cynical article that said, oh yeah, they completely abolished the internal secret police and then replaced it with a brand new agency to do the very same thing.
They sort of changed its name. I think it's now called the Patriotic or something alongside Homeland Security. Close, and it's just like a change of name. However, though, they did claim that they will seek court orders for phone tapping and for surveillance, and that the court system will be more. That's going, by the way, back to this whole constitutional referendum, is that a lot of these powers, like Mubarak used to be the supreme ruler of, like, the court system, of the police, of the army, of, like, every single apparatus. There was zero checks and balances. So a lot of people are seeking to change that. And basically, with this vote of yes, the army has agreed to freeze all of the articles of the Constitution that give absolute power to the seat of the presidency. And basically, the next term of office for a president or parliament will be very temporary, until, like, you know, a maximum a year for both, until they actually draft a new constitution, and there'll be a second referendum vote for the mass public to to vote on yay or nay, and hopefully that will be set on the right track then. And you're right. I mean, definitely we do have we did this immensely great thing by just uniting and overthrowing this dictator. However, though, now we're realizing that it really was not a dictatorship, but rather an oligarchy, and a lot of these oligarchs are still lingering about, and we need to get rid of them. A lot of businessmen are currently on trial, and they're trying to weasel their way out. They're saying, we'll pay billions of dollars back into the Egyptian economy and set us free. And basically, that's sort of a debate. A lot of people are saying no. These people have blood on their hands, and they need to be held accountable for that. And basically, it'll be you know, so that the next person that thinks that they could get away with that sort of stuff would think twice about it, you know?
Mm. Well, good luck on that. Now, I'm sorry, we're so out of time. And believe me, I think it's so important, accountability for the past torturers and stuff. It's something that we sure don't have here in the USA. But can you tell us real fast about the present and future of the Gaza Strip and Egypt's role in keeping up one wall there to keep those people penned in, and your upcoming trip? You got about a minute and a half.
Sure. We have on the 24th of March, which is on Thursday, day after tomorrow, we plan on going with a select group of delegates, which include people, lawyers, doctors, journalists, engineers, and we plan on taking 10 tons of cement and other building materials, such as steel, raw materials such as textiles, all Egyptian produced by the Egyptian workers. And basically we plan on having, an attempt to break the siege from the Egypt end. And we're basically saying that, you know, there's no international law that or agreement that binds Egypt to this Israeli blockade on the Gaza Strip. And we've addressed the foreign ministry, the new foreign minister, and hopefully we'll be getting a reply from him tomorrow. And basically, there was just an attack today on Gaza that killed four young kids and I think a woman and wounded 20 other civilians. Egypt's FM is to host some of the Gaza government delegation soon to come. There was also an EU delegation two days ago. I think they were here Thursday through Sunday, and they visited with all of the factions, you know, including like COPS, lots of the small organizations like 6th of April and the 25th of January youth movements, and also with the Arab League President Amr Moussa. And basically every single person was saying this blockade needs to end. And it seems pretty positive.
All right. Now tell us very quickly, where can people read about and perhaps participate in your upcoming trip?
Well, your website? The website is just my personal blog right now, which is ahmedelassy. Blogspot.com.
Okay, Ahmed Elassi.blogspot.com. Thanks very much for your time, Ahmed. Appreciate it.
Thank you.